You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside of Tori and Miles. Together, we have over 80 years of experience in this market. We advise, we broker, and every week we give you a technical and fundamental analysis of the metals using charts and the news and underlying fundamentals that move and predict these markets. So today, we're going to do a little bit of the white metals. Miles, you would like to open us with some charts, please, and maybe give us a recap from the last week?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Before we move to the white metals, because that is where a lot of the noise is this week, we'll move over to gold first. Gold actually not too bad this week, up about 1.7%, sitting just under $4,800 at time of recording. It's at $4,793 an ounce and still holding in pretty strong. And now we'll move into it for you here, Rob, starting with silver. Silver is all over the place, up 7% this week. A big solid week for silver compared to gold. And we'll definitely want to look at the ratio here in a second as well. So silver up 7%, just under 80, got real close again, but we're at $79.55 at the moment. And looking volatile as it has been for the last couple weeks. So good to see the trend continue. A couple other white metals. First, platinum. Platinum having a pretty good week itself, up 5%, back up over $2,100, but just barely at $2,101. And sister metal to platinum, palladium, while also up, looking more like gold, palladium's up about 1% at $1,550. So sort of all over the board there for metals, but everything is having a solid week since our recording last week. And a quick glance at the paper markets, the S&P on a bit of a tear the last couple of weeks. It's up another 3% this week. Over 7,000. It's at 7,023 points.
All-time high.
Oh, it did hit an all-time high today. How about that?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That beats the January 28th high, which I guess was just like, what, 7,000 and change. So yeah, we did get a little all-time high there. It's off to the races. Everything's grand. So
well,
nothing
I'd
to
say
see
it
here.
Actually, it actually kind of is. It's up 11% since the March 30th low. We're talking about the S&P 500 still, but that's a $6 trillion move in terms of market cap in 12 trading days.
Wow.
That's money creation in an inflationary environment. That doesn't help the inflationary pressures that we're already feeling. But sorry to interrupt you, Miles. Keep on going.
No, you're good. We've only got one more that we like to check in on, and you guys can probably guess what the dollar's doing this week with everything else up. The dollar is down, not dramatically, but 1% for the world's largest thing. 1% move in a week is a fair bit, and we're looking at the U.S. dollar back down to about 98.07, just a little bit over the 98 number, and a pretty healthy little trail back here since we hit that bottom back in January as well. Ran up about 5%. Now we're back down 1%. So just continuing the volatility that we've seen across the board.
Yeah, the volatility has been remarkable. I mean, even with gold, you know, we're talking about recording at $4,793, but that's down about $80 from the high just in the last 24 hours, you know, in the Asian and London market. We were well north of $4,800. So that's big downside volatility. Same with silver. So they're just getting this continued whipsaw up and down. Silver hit a high of over 81 in the U.S. market in the last couple of trading days. For us, we haven't seen 80. We've been sitting right under it, 79.50 to 79.90, but it was 81.14 overnight as well. So we're continuing to see these huge swings. And that, to me, is just guesswork. Certainly, it's leverage betting and futures market driven. It's paper market driven. We can all attest, the three of us, that it's not physical market driven.
Not really.
No.
But we'll wait and see what Dr. Copper has to say in a little while.
Yeah, there you go. Well, the white metals in general have come back to life with silver back up 7% and platinum up 5% this week. They're telling the same story as Dr. Copper. So, I mean, I think you can jump right in because that does segue into a key topic, and that is obviously inflationary concerns and GDP.
Yeah, because copper is right at its all-time high right now. We're plus minus a nickel from copper's all-time high.
Yeah, Rob, we're looking at copper having an interday high around 650, currently $6. And if you really stretch this chart out here over the last 10 years or so, you can see just the volatility you see in copper when things get panicky in the markets. Looking back like 2006, 7, 8, 2010, when the equities market was in the toilet, but the commodities markets were really booming. And we're trading anywhere from $1.25 up to $4.50 over the course of that couple of years. Well, lo and behold, we've kicked that off again since 2020, and we're looking at copper trading as low as $2 when COVID hit back in 2020, now up to over $6, and it looks like it's climbing, you know, beyond just what you'd expect general inflation to push the price up over that course of 10 years. We've got this long-term kind of lower trend line that goes back to like the 2008 stock market bottoms and then hit it again in 2020. That's taking us from $1.30 up $1 over the course of 10 years. And maybe we get a correction back down to 3-something by the time this is all said and done. But, you know, copper is one of the most used things on the planet in almost everything. So you're going to see a lot of volatility in those markets as it's climbing because of just people securing their manufacturing contracts. So I'm not surprised. What I am looking at that could be happening is we've had this channel trend rising over the last 20 years. We've just had a breakout of that channel trend here recently. So now I'm wondering if we're looking at kind of a logarithmic rise where copper may continue not just rising, but rising much faster than it has over the last 20 years on average. Or if it's going to continue that same sort of trend, maybe we're just stair-stepping up to the next level where we'll continue sort of a trading range to the same degree, but just at higher pricing. So copper may be something to watch. The problem with watching copper is it's something you're going to have to, you know, not get too reactionary about on a day-to-day basis, but kind of look for how the trend moves back and forth over the course of months and years over the next 5 or 10 years. But we're definitely starting to see some, I would argue, pretty significant life-altering changes to the underlying cost of manufacturing. And I think that's going to affect everybody from the U.S. to China.
Well, the white precious metals are already an influence in that regard. Copper, to me, has lagged. Yeah, it's at an all-time high, but proportionally, it hasn't done what silver has done or platinum's done and some of the other precious metals,
right,
and other base metals or uranium and that sort of thing. So to me, with the amount of inflation that we've absorbed in the last 5 years, copper has lagged. So some of this could be a little bit of a catch-up. It's usually predictive in terms of economic activity expectations. Mm-hmm. Dr. Copper is called Dr. Copper because it looks like you're healing the economy in a sense. It's an indication of the fact that you've got happy days here again from an economic and manufacturing standpoint. But the biggest indicator to me and the biggest push on the copper price is really because of the AI sector. And I know people probably kind of abuse that or just assume that, but it really is because these servers need electricity. And the amount of electricity that's being demanded now is unlike anything that I think anybody thought they were going to see, much less have ever seen. And that requires copper. And the more copper you need and the more supply pinch you get, it's sort of like the dynamics that we experience in silver where there becomes a big short squeeze and some of this could be expectation. Copper is not a perfect predictor. Sometimes it actually rallies going into a major downturn. So there's no guarantee. I will tell you that HedgeEye, as they follow the quads, have said that quarterly, from a second quarter standpoint, we're in what's called quad three, which means GDP is slowing and inflation is picking up. But that for April and May, actually, we're probably going to be bouncing back and forth with quad two. And that the indications look now as if GDP could actually start to expand. Inflation we know is climbing. So CPI came out last week at 3.3% year over year. That was up 0.9% in 1 month because February it was year over year 2.4. So that's a big spike. A lot of it had to do with the Iranian conflict breaking out. But PPI came out and it was unchanged from February. It was up 0.5%. That means year over year, the inflation rate is at 4%. And remember, the Federal Reserve has a stated objective of 2%. They have yet to rein this thing in. and life continues to get more expensive. So some of this is just a natural repricing. It doesn't even have to mean that the economy is hot per se. It means, again, copper has lagged and it has a lot of room or ground to gain to catch up. I mean, who'd have thought with how life getting twice as expensive in the last 10 years, copper hasn't in most instances. So anyway, interested to see what story that it's telling, but let's get back to what we actually trade, the precious metals, rather than the base metals, and do a little deeper dive. I mean, on gold, silver, platinum, and miles, you mentioned even the ratio.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about nickel. Is that what we're doing next?
Okay. Concrete.
Yeah.
Yeah, concrete. Just
some aggregate in
some
there.
Some steel, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, some steel. So one thing I want to follow up on, just our discussion last week, we looked at a pretty massive trading range, a declining trading range in gold, simply because we've had two consecutive low lows, one the initial drop back at the beginning of February into January, and then of course this most recent one here at the end of March, pushing gold as low as 4,000 or just above. So you are looking at a pretty significant trading range there. From my perspective, I really think we're probably going to continue to see gold rise to around the 5,000 level, maybe a little bit higher. Then we'll have to decide what happens from there. So if gold turns down from here, let's say gold were to turn around and go back down from here, that certainly longer term would be a little bit more bearish for gold or be putting us into some sideways trading in the charts there. So my gut tells me we're probably going to come up and hit our head on the ceiling at 5,000. And were it to break through, I think the next couple spots you're looking at is going to be somewhere around slightly higher, 5,100, 5,200, but ultimately 5,400, and then the previous high at like 5,600, mainly because that's where we've hit our head over the last couple of months, and there could be some standing sell orders from people who are placing short-term trades in the precious metals market, trades that they expect to get placed within, you know, a certain number of weeks or months. So yeah, gold's going to remain volatile at this point. I think anybody speculating on the definitive direction of gold going forward here over the next couple of months, a good chunk of that input is coming from some hopes, dreams, or fears, and another chunk of that input is just raw speculation. So,
oh, for sure.
As I like to say, let the markets dictate your decisions. You don't get to decide when the waves are going to come in if you're a surfer. You just get to decide which one you're going to try to catch and pop up on your board. So I'd like to see gold give us a little bit more detail through the summer. I'm a big fan of markets being allowed to catch their breath. We just saw a staggeringly large move up in gold and even more so in some of the white metals like silver, or things like copper, without going back to the base metals. So I like how gold is trading right now. I think it's providing us some opportunities. And the big thing for me here is as gold and silver try to find their footing, is going to be looking for possibly some follow-up ratio trading opportunities for those of us that are still hanging on to some silver, hoping it might get a little bit better, which it did over the last week.
Where are we? About 59 to 1?
60.5.
Okay.
You know, which is great. That's down about 5 points. Mm-hmm. So it makes it even more indicated to move some silver to gold. Again, we don't know where that ratio bottoms. We got as low as 47 in January, and that was just a wonderful opportunity. But yet it all depends on where your entry point is as to whether it's indicated, right?
It does.
These markets, like Miles is saying, really hard to predict. Even if we ultimately see that gold price that Miles says we could get to, you can't predict timing and pace, and you've got to push and pull. So here we're talking about inflation being inordinately high. That's not a guarantee that the gold price goes up. So sometimes it'll go in concert with the dollar, but we've seen a dollar downturn. So lately, since the war broke out, it's been oil up, dollar up, gold down.
Yeah, but now oil in the last week is down over 20%.
And the dollar's down, yeah. And gold is up. So gold is acting opposite. It's the dollar and oil moving in lockstep with each other, and that may continue. Part of the other issue, another fundamental, is rate cuts. If you make borrowing cheaper, that's weak dollar policy. That's not a healthy dollar, which this administration doesn't want a strong dollar. Rate cuts are kind of out the window right now because inflation's climbing. If you cut rates in an inflationary environment, you pour gas on the fire. So that's out, and so gold is you know, not climbing because of an expectation of rate cuts, which it would normally do. You've got bond yields. You've obviously got the geopolitical tensions. The equity market weakness that we talked about 2 weeks ago has suddenly
reversed.
It looked like that dirt mound we talked about on this downturn, and we were halfway to a bear market.
Not so, my friend.
Not so. So there's no reason for gold to be a risk-off type of asset right now. It's like happy days are here again in the equities.
Yeah. I mean, how do you predict these markets? It's so hard. You know, and typically you can look at springtime being very positive for the metals sector, been pretty flat, which is okay. I don't know what that means for the summer months. Usually it's sell in May, go away kind of thing. But, you know, maybe we're moving into a pretty brisk summer. I know one of our best analysts that we rely on is calling for just this crazy number for silver. I mean, Michael Oliver is still sticking to his guns, $300 to $500 silver by the summer. Now, I personally, I just cannot see that, but I have a lot of respect for the guy. So it'll
proven
be
proven track record.
Great track record. I mean, it's an amazing track record, and he is doubled down on that. So we'll see. I don't know. I can't see it, but then who am I?
Well, as Miles always says, I mean, I like to focus on the fundamentals. He's a chart guy, you know, and he's like, it doesn't matter what fundamentals actually cause it to go where the charts say it's going to go. It's going to go there at some point.
It's amazing how that always happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're still on with this? I thought I could speak
it's
for
like,
you.
I was speaking of charts. I was playing with my charts because I was thinking, hey, that's kind of an interesting point you made about oil there. So I went and checked real quick, and actually oil has corrected the exact same amount that gold has. So even though they didn't operate simultaneously, they didn't do it at the same time, but lo and behold, timing is irrelevant. The charts are the only thing that matters. And both gold and oil have had the same aggressiveness of correction. So, but all jokes aside, the fundamentals are important because they help answer the timing question that charts don't. So the charts kind of tell you where you're going to get to your destination, but you need a GPS that sort of tells you what the road looks like getting you there. So I know I give you a hard time with your whole reading the news stuff, but it's...
The drivers of the timing, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I only say that because I don't see what fundamentals are going to stimulate that type of price movement. But it's the unforeseen that always catches us, obviously, off guard.
Well, one of the geniuses of Michael Oliver that he points to is the momentum word that we've been talking about for weeks. And he is showing momentum is actually turning up for both gold and silver and have remained so for the last 3 weeks.
Well, this is the fourth consecutive up week so far for silver. So, I mean, let's, you know, give credit where it's due.
Yes, yeah. That part is true. But why suddenly a 400% increase? That's going to have to be precipitated by some major event that, again, we can't predict. Not only can we not predict markets, you can't predict the actions of humans or policies of those in Washington or otherwise. So I'm just saying, are we going to see $300 silver?
Huh.
Absolutely.
Well, when?
But not this summer, I don't think.
I don't think so.
And especially with the seasonal bias. Now, last summer, we saw the initiation of the movement of silver. That's when it started its bull run.
Yeah, because in the spring of last year, it was 104 ounces of silver to an ounce of gold in the spring.
Yeah.
So that was like incredibly weak for silver. Gold was strengthening. But you know, he was calling back last spring for gold to be at 5,000 by the end of the year. And everybody was scratching their head about that one.
And guess what happened?
Yeah,
right?
Guess what? It did. Listen, this is fun. After 40 years of watching gold and silver move sideways or down, I'm having a good time watching this.
Yeah, absolutely. And all those ounces of gold you bought when you first started at $50.
Yeah, well, 100. Yeah, but
I'm surprised you're still working.
I can't believe you paid as much as you did for your first gold, Rob. That's crazy. I know your dad said it was crazy too.
My dad was arguing, you know, gold was only $35 an ounce a couple of years ago. You sure you're doing the right thing?
Here we sit. Well, I'll tell you what's not changing either is the de-dollarization push globally. So more people get concerned about, oh, should I be buying gold? Yeah, it's at an all-time high. It doesn't matter. So is the stock market.
Exactly.
Right? And so is just about everything. We talked about copper all-time high. That's a paradigm shift that you just have to get over because it's about the long-term trend. And the less attractive that the petrodollar is and the less attractive U.S. debt is, the more people turn away from the dollar, the more inflation is going to climb here, right?
Yeah.
And the more the global monetary system is changing. And it's in a state of change now. And we don't know the timing of that either. But there's a true de-dollarization going on.
Oh, for real.
Right? And yet all these people that have historically been bond followers and investors, and they're now saying, no, it's gold. This is a resurgence in gold. And we haven't seen anything yet in the price of gold.
And we haven't seen this like this in our lifetime. Our sister company, Vaulted, sent out a great email last week showing that gold ownership by central banks has now become greater than U.S. Treasury debt ownership by central banks in value. More gold than U.S. Treasuries. It hasn't been like that for decades.
Yeah, why wouldn't you rather own real assets? That's really what it's about. Instead of owning paper, you're owning real assets. And that's the big push. You know, look at the private equity credit market.
Wow.
That's not owning real stuff in most of those instances. You're promising paper for a digital experiment. There is no real asset that you're owning. And yeah, you're going to see a sea change in that regard.
Well,
too.
You're seeing it now. I mean, that's going tango underwear as we speak.
Okay, yeah. Well, it seems like all of Washington is too. So things aren't getting any prettier. There's no better cooperation. We have a very fragile ceasefire agreement. We still have the Strait of Hormuz. It's a complete unknown, both from a global inflation standpoint and geopolitical strain standpoint.
Young men and women right there with a big bullseye on them. You know, we need to pray for those sailors, those brave young men and women that are in the Strait right now with a target on their ship.
Yeah, Rob. And I think what's interesting about that to me is when I look at something like, say, Brent crude compared to U.S. oil shares, you're looking at U.S. oil at about a 50% correction from where it peaked here a couple weeks ago. Brent's only down about a third. So I think internationally, not only are we looking at not just governments, you know, obviously gold becoming the world reserve currency again is a bigger deal than a lot of people outside of the gold sphere are looking into. So not only from a government standpoint, but also from a corporate standpoint, is we've been listening to Bank of America and Goldman Sachs and everybody else talk about adding gold to your portfolio, not 3 or 5 or 7% here and there, but 25% of your positions going into physical metals. And that's recommendations for every American coming from people who sell stocks for a living.
That is so out of norm for them.
Talk about something you haven't seen in your 40 plus years.
Ever. Yeah. So with this differing of the oil situation globally, you know, Europe obviously getting hit the hardest due to a Strait of Hormuz issue and Trump coming out saying, hey, we've got tons of oil to sell. you know, U.S. oil is not looking as bad.
Well, U.S. oil should be cheaper than Brent. You know, come on. We don't get our oil from Persian Gulf, really. We get some.
Well, it's like 2%, 2.5%.
Yeah. Why is our oil higher?
Right.
Come on.
Maybe a little gouging going on. I don't, you know, I don't know, but there's a lot more outflows because we have never exported this much oil ever. All-time high in oil exports for the United States right now. So there is some economic benefit to it.
But yeah, of course.
You hope that it's not at the cost of a life. That's you want.
But there is some explanation baked into all of this why we're seeing growth in the commodities here domestically, cost-wise. But we're also seeing some growth in things like after the capitulation here over the last couple of weeks, U.S. oil looking at a lower price, the U.S. dollar coming down a little bit, and of course the S&P rising. It feels like there's an attempt to reposition the United States as the safe haven that we've always wanted it to be because it benefits us economically, fiscally, certainly governmentally. helps you. Good economies make for repeat elections. And I know coming up in a couple of years, the Republicans would love to be able to keep a couple seats in Washington, D.C. So from my perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense. And this is where the news thing I talk about comes from, because the initial reaction to we're sending troops to Iran, we're going to hold the Strait of Hormuz until we get what we want. The initial assumption is this is going to be bad for things. But you have to look at the whole chessboard and how the pieces are getting moved around.
Yeah, things are definitely coming back this way. Let's just hope it's not at the cost of something horrific.
Well, I think that's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website, McIlvaney.com, where you can find some additional information about McIlvaney Precious Metals and some of our offers. If you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of us here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.